Don't quit in your darkest moments. In the dark, you can't see clearly. Hi, hope you're well. This is PD at the Art of Self-Development. This episode is for everyone interested in ideas and practical tools to develop the most useful skills for yourself and for the people you care about. This one is about humility and about leadership. Two ideas that may not be a good match for many people. Or so it might seem. Because so many of the leaders that we have, either in corporate setting, in families, or in the military, are not that way at all. So often we think that being a leader simply means to be tough, to be strong, to order people around and make them do stuff that they don't want to do. And that can be a part of it. But if that is your major mode of being a leader, there is something very fundamental missing. And again, this is about leading people in any environment. Humility is a big part of it. So is flexibility, being able to learn from those that you are leading, being open enough to have them influence you, even as you are leading them. Because you need to be open to the people that you are giving orders to or directing in some way, in order for them to open enough to you for you to be an influence on them. Maybe you've had a boss who never listened to you, who always thought that they know the best, and who always earned sullen compliance at best, but never ever excellence, because you don't even want to do a good job when that happens to you. Because in a way you know that that boss would take your success and present it as theirs. And you don't want that. You don't even want them to succeed, because they don't deserve it. They haven't earned it as leaders. And that's because being a leader is not about you. It's not about the leader. It is always about the team. It is about learning how you can do your best at helping, supporting, or coaching other people to do their best. When you're leading people, you're not creating followers. You should always try to make more leaders. And every company, every family, every military, every team that works, they have some level of understanding of this. And the military can be a very good example for more than one reason. One is, it can be about as extreme and as dangerous as it gets. Another reason might be, we commonly have the idea that being a soldier, no matter how professional, is about obeying orders. And it kind of is. But what we don't talk about much is, it can be an exercise in creativity, in problem solving, in dealing with things quickly and efficiently. And if you are the commander in the Marine Corps or in a SEALs unit, you don't want a bunch of robots under your command. You want people who are tough, who are responsible, but also those who are smart, who work great as a team, and who are excellent problem solvers. Because that is the kind of team that'll work the best under any circumstances, no matter what the mission is. So the first thing that distinguishes great leaders is that they make more leaders. They never make leading about themselves. They always make it about the team. Because the more responsibility, the more options you give your subordinates, the better their outcomes will be, the more they can own their own results, the better those results will be, always. Sometimes they do this experiment in the SEALs training. When there's a team that doesn't seem to be doing so well, and another team that is doing really well, that they switch the commanders and just see what happens. Because many people would think that those team members are just bad. They're incompetent, they're lazy, they're good for nothing. And what really happens in these situations, you change the leader, the bad quote-unquote group will get a very good leader. And their performance from very bad can turn to excellent immediately. Give them the right leadership and they will achieve almost anything. Whereas the bad leader can really drag a good team down under real fast. Because being a leader is all about trust and about support. You can't do that while you're only thinking of yourself, or how you will look, or how you can own the team's successes. This is also why it is always a big red flag if you have a leader who badmouths their team, who talk about how incompetent they are, and how he or she has to force them to get on the right track and quit screwing up and perform better. Because that leader does not own up to the responsibility that is inherent in their position. Such a person can never deliver, can never support the team in the ways that are necessary. To create the kind of discipline, the trust, and the fortitude that every high-performing team needs to do their best. A good leader will always put the team before him or herself. This is also the reason why there is a natural lifespan to most companies, where you have a startup at first, and they really do their best. They're open to new ideas. And they try to learn to do better. And then, as that company grows, this shift will happen, where as you have more and more people in the company, the responsibility gets diluted, and people get set in their ways. And over time, more and more focus shifts from changing the procedures and doing things better to quote-unquote not screwing up. People try to hide behind their position and behind their subordinates, who they use as a shield when something doesn't go right. And we know how these big companies tend to do. Usually, especially if they have no competition, they will kind of fall apart. And the same thing can happen to countries. Think Roman Empire, when they had nobody to fight. On the other hand, you can think of a country like Israel that is surrounded by adversaries and who need to be sharp and who need to be really strong. They would not be where they are if they lived in the middle of Europe, surrounded by friends. The interesting thing is, there are some companies that defy this idea. Think Amazon, for example. This is a huge multinational company that is super efficient because it keeps the principles that other companies give up when they become successful. Amazon, in many ways, still considers itself a startup. They always try to innovate and do better. And this is the key. No matter how successful you become, always be a learner. Do not let it get to your head. But think about what you can still learn, because there's always more. And if you think you're successful now, you can magnify your success 10 times if you keep this mindset. Because the reality of it is, you can't really stay successful. You don't stay where you are indefinitely. Over time, you either keep going up or you go down. There's nothing like stagnation. There's always movement. And where you go in the ways that matter is up to you. And a necessary prerequisite for this attitude is keeping your ego in check. Ego can help you, or it can be your worst enemy. Because an ego can drive you forward. Because you want to be the best. You want to do great. You want to achieve something extraordinary. But at the same time, If you can't put the purpose in front of yourself, that attitude will always limit you. And it's in those moments when we feel strong emotions that we need to hold them back, that we need to take a step back to see things clearly. And again, this is often what military leaders say, that in the moments under the biggest stress, with the biggest emotions, you have to be able to take this step back. Because if you're in the emotions, you can't make a rational decision. And this is the time when it's the easiest to make a mistake. A mistake that'll cost lives. Because you lost perspective. Because you lost perspective in the moment. In my line of work, I often talk to soldiers and I talk to leaders. And it still surprises me how humble they tend to be. Because again, if you think somebody underwent a rigorous training to become the best of the best, that their ego would be huge. And they're sometimes part of it, but also they realize through their training how important it is to keep your ego in check. Whether it is when dealing with your subordinates who disagree with you or think you're not a good enough leader, or under fire, when you need to make the right decision right now. You can't have a big, inflexible ego and do well as a leader in these situations. Because when the shit hits the fan, everyone in the team has to completely rely on each other. Trust is the most important thing for any team that works at their best. Because when push comes to shove, we are all in it together, as a team. Nobody is more important than another. That is the great equalizer that puts you right back on your feet and puts your feet on the ground. And the right training that gets you to that starts really small in some ways. It's kind of like there's this famous speech by Admiral McRaven about making the bed in the morning. That one of the first things during the training is you have to make your bed perfect in the morning. Exactly just right. And this seems really petty and meaningless when you're training to become this elite warrior. But if you can do that thing first thing in the morning, make it perfect, it's the small step that you get satisfaction from that leads to the next step. And the next. And at the end of the day, you've made all of these things happen, one after another, all to the best of your ability, and always trying to do it better. And that is the lesson for every one of us. Small things matter, because they build up. I always suggest that when you're trying to achieve something, you should compartmentalize. Don't make your goals too big. Make them small. It doesn't matter how many of them there will be. If you make them small and satisfying, you can achieve anything. As long as you create the right ones for you to build momentum, you'll get farther in life and in your career than probably anyone else that you know. It is about never giving up, but also about being smart about the direction that you take, the tools that you use along the way, and also about being smart about the changes that you need to make, about the course corrections, because it's not necessarily a good idea to just go in one direction and never change course. That would almost certainly fail. So learning and course correcting is an important part of the journey. And the funny thing is, as you do that, the obstacles that you thought would be there, and mostly the fears that you have connected to them, will tend to disappear. Because we feel the obstacles to be bigger than they really are. And the same goes for our fears. The best way to overcome fears is to actually do what you fear. As you do, that fear will always shrink. And after a while, you look back at what you thought was really scary. You'll wonder how that ever happened, because that thing is not a big deal. In hindsight, fears seem really small. So expose yourself to the things that you fear, especially when it comes to leading people and doing your best. If you can keep your focus on the team and on doing the best you can for the team, you almost can't fail. And if you do fail, it'll not be about you. It'll more likely be situational, something that happened in the situation, or it's a skill that you still need to improve. By the way, there are different approaches that, basic principles, if you will, that can help you achieve any result. One of them is the four principles of achieving. That is goal setting, visualization, self-talk, and emotional control. I'll go briefly over what these mean. The thing about goal setting is that it makes you really focused. One of the worst things, in my experience, that you can do while you're trying to achieve something difficult is to focus inside, to focus on your thoughts and what your feelings. I'm not saying you should be blind to them, but this is not where your focus should be. Your focus should be outside. It should be on the team, on the environment, on achieving the goal. This is the difference between being self-conscious and being self-confident. When you're trying to achieve something, focus outside. Focus on the goal. The other one, visualization. Every top athlete visualizes their success. We know that seeing in your mind's eye yourself performing at your best, or even exceeding your best, is one of the things that'll influence your performance. It'll help you do better, and will make doing your best feel natural. Because the mind doesn't very much distinguish between what is real, what happens in the real world, and what we imagine. Visualization is a powerful tool. Next, self-talk. This is about the thinking that we have, the talking that we do to ourselves, and whether or not it is positive or negative, especially any negative self-statements, as in, I can't do this, this is pointless, I'm not good enough. These need to be replaced by positive statements, by empowering statements. And again, they don't need to be out of touch with reality, although they can in a way. But they need to support you rather than work against you. Sometimes it is very helpful in the situations where you can afford to do this, to really become more aware of the self-talk that you're doing to yourself, that you're having with yourself. Break it down to these statements that you use on yourself, why you use these, and change them, reframe them. Whatever happened that led you to choose these particular phrases and statements, change them to mean something more positive. If the thought is, I'm not good enough, you can make it into, I'm learning to be good enough, or I'm not good enough yet. Anything that'll support you rather than work against you is fine. And the last of the four is emotional control. It has to do with the self-talk because the two are interrelated. When you have a thought, typically this will lead to an emotion, positive or negative, empowering or disempowering. And the good thing about this one is that it can be quite straightforward. There are things you can actually do to help you get your emotions under control, such as if you're feeling stressed out, you can just take a long exhale. And you can do that a few times and see how it can relax you. Meditation also works pretty well. Or you can do this thing that's called square breathing, where you inhale for a count of four slowly. You hold your breath for a count of four. You exhale for a count of four. And then you hold before inhaling again, also for a count of four. So in all of these four parts, you count to four, which is why we call it square breathing. If you do that 10 times in a row, slowly, see how that can calm you down and make you focused. You can never prepare for everything, but if you prepare for the task at hand and for dealing with your emotions or in stressful situations, you will have done enough to deal with virtually any situation. They say no plan survives first contact with the enemy, but that in fact makes training and preparation even more important, because you learn to deal with any situation, not just the particular one. And under strong pressure especially, we don't usually rise to the occasion, not without enough preparation. We usually sink to the level of our training. This is why you need the baseline of where you can be at the lowest. You want it to be higher than other people's top. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Art of Self-Development. Remember that learning is a change of behavior. You can adjust your thoughts and your environment to better suit your goals, and it works best if you do it for other people's benefit. You can support this podcast by writing me a comment or suggestion at pdartofsd@gmail.com or just by telling your friends. Whatever you do today, leave the world a little better than you found it.